May be seated. If you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Tonight I want to talk to you about the three prayer worlds of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These are three dimensions of prayer. They were given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If a man ever knew how to pray, it was Jesus. That's why this study is so significant. Pastor Rick has been preaching sermons on the kaleidoscope of prayer, and I'm just going to sort of ride the coattail of that tonight. And tonight, if you would look at Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, I want you to look at verse 9. Jesus is beginning to talk back to them. Jesus said in verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you." That question right there, teach us to pray, that question is probably asked and pondered on by more Christians than any other subject. How do you pray effective prayers? And these dimensions of prayer, they come as a direct result of a request that was made to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Not teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. You can know all about the various aspects of prayer, and you can study the subject, you can dissect, and you can know the laws that regulate prayers, and you can know the hindrances to answered prayer. But if you don't pray, guess what? You will not get your prayers answered. So Dr. Lester Sumrall, I studied secrets to answer prayer unto him. He said the most important thing about prayer is do it. So that is the most important thing, because God looks upon the heart. And if your heart is sincere, but at the same time, we ought to study and we ought to know the rules and regulations of prayer. But first of all, Jesus was a person of prayer. And the Bible says Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished praying, his disciple came to him and said, "Lord, we want to know how to pray like you pray. So teach us to pray." So we see that God answers prayer. And so they're saying, "Jesus, God answers your prayer. So teach us to pray like you pray." Now, this could be the greatest request that his disciples ever made, because we need to know how to address God. If you don't know how to address God, how can you talk to God? His disciples, they wanted to know how to talk to God, the Father, in prayer the way Jesus did. So at the time Jesus gave this, he had not been crucified, but he had given a word of prophecy. I want you to look at John 16:23. Today we approach the Father in the name of Jesus. Look at this. "And in that day, after I have returned to the Father, after I have received the glorified body," that's what he's saying, "you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Now, a lot of people pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. God never exalted any name but the name of Jesus. Why does the name of Jesus carry so much power? It's because he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God. It sounds good. It's real religious. And my insides cringe when my leadership pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because it's not biblical. It's not biblical. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But God never exalted his name. Jesus said, "When the Holy Ghost comes, he will not speak of himself. He will speak of me." They told those early disciples, they had turned their world upside down. They arrested them for preaching in the name of Jesus. They said, "Don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus." Peter said, "We will obey man, God, and not man. We cannot but help tell the wonderful things that he has done." So if you're going to talk to God, go to God the Father in the name of his Son, because Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You can't go in any other name but Jesus. God chose because of the cross. And if you ever get this, it will help you pray winning prayers. Don't go with the religious world. Go with what the Bible says. Take this book right here. This book, Jesus said, you can ask the Father anything in my name. And then in another place, John 14, he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That's the command of faith. That's not even petitioning the Father. You just take the name of Jesus and you understand that name carries power in three worlds, and the devil must bow to that name. Sickness, disease, every knee must bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And when you get the anointing and you get over into the spirit world where the devil is, see, the devil's a spirit. God is a spirit. You have a human spirit and you're not wrestling flesh and blood. So when you get into the spirit dimension, you better know how to use the name of Jesus, because there's a real devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the name of Jesus carries power. So in prayer, we are taught how to approach the Father, how to speak, when to speak, and when not to speak. My subject tonight, the three prayer worlds of Jesus. Father, we love you and we praise you and thank you for these dimensions of prayer, that we can know how to pray. We can know how to pray effective prayers. We can know the rules that regulate and control answered prayer. We can understand the laws of prayer, the law of faith, the law of strength, the law of perseverance, that we can persevere and that you will answer the prayers of your children, because we don't come in our name. We come to our Heavenly Father in the name He has exalted, the name of Jesus. And we praise you for that name and thank you for that name. And we bear that name. We're to bear it everywhere we go, that we are have been born again of the Spirit. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. Bless the word to our hearts tonight. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. Point number one, your success as a Christian is dependent upon your ability to pray. Your success as a Christian is dependent upon your ability to pray. And if you don't have the ability to pray, you will always be a weak Christian. You'll be unsuccessful. You'll be up and you'll be down, and you will never enjoy answered prayer. God does not want any of us to be weak. He wants you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God said, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So it's important how you approach God, and it's important how you understand the spirit world, because there is a battle going on, and there's a mean devil. I got a simple theology. God is a good God. God's real good. And the devil is a bad devil. And you're not wrestling flesh and blood. If you ever get that much straight, you can pray winning prayers, because it's not people that you're fighting against. It is principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. He says, suit up, put on the whole armor, know how to use the name of Jesus, wield it like the sword. It's the word. Jesus is the word. Take that name, Jesus, and the devil trembles when you speak it. Hallelujah. So now the devil hates prayer. And he's afraid of any person that understands the name of Jesus, because prayer destroys his work. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, you are tearing down strongholds. Some of those strongholds may have been there for years. And God just gives you an assignment, puts it on your life, puts you into that situation so you can tear down those strongholds and those imaginations and high thoughts and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. But if you don't have power, understanding about the power that's in you, the authority to use the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, pray it up. So as soon as you start praying, you're over there in the spirit world. You don't want to pray from your head. You want to pray from your heart. And Jesus is teaching these people to pray where they are at this period of time. But God didn't want them to stay there. He was going to send the Holy Ghost, and He was going to give them revelation of how to pray in the spirit. He was going to give them the power. He said, you shall receive power, dunamis, the power of the spirit. Some people are liking it to dynamite, and I'd liken it unto nuclear power myself. It's the most powerful thing there is to be able to pray effective prayers in the name of Jesus. So God wants us to know and understand the power of prayer. You must learn to pray from your heart, not from your head. It's the inner man that communes with God. You can pray out of your head, and I hear these people, they got big titles and stuff, and they're praying out of the head. You got to pray out of this world into the next world. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart, that's the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. For he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the Apostle Paul lets us know, speaking not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So you can pray out of your head and you can pray all of that stuff. I'll ask you a question. The Pope has taken a stand to allow certain things that they wouldn't allow him. Would you want the Pope praying for you? Had you rather somebody next to you praying for you? Somebody that you know, somebody that believes, somebody that understands the power of the name of Jesus. I'm not saying anything against that. If people want to do that, they can do that. But I just found out that, another hero has changed his mind about gay rights. Now, you won't be able to say that anymore. But, I know two Bible people that have published Bibles, and now they have changed their mind, and they don't want to upset the gay community. Could it be they don't want to lose income? Could it be they don't want to lose that big influence that they have? I could care less myself. I'd rather have a little country preacher that couldn't even use good English pray for me if he knows the power of the name of Jesus than any great big dignitary that has a mega church. The mega churches are starting to fall. Have you noticed that? Why? Because they're built on hype. A lot of them, not all of them. They're built on things of this world. They're not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They're built on personalities, a lot of them, and they're going to come crumbling down. Why is that? Because God has a name he exalted. It's the name of Jesus. And you're going to see people in the church begin to pray that you thought could never pray winning prayers. And that's my assignment, to help equip you. Hallelujah. The devil hates prayer. Prayer is wonderful and prayer is great. The second point, Jesus said there are three prayer worlds. Look at Luke 11:9 again. Luke 11:9. Jesus said, I say unto you, ask. It shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. That's prayer world number one right there. Seek and ye shall find. That's prayer world number two. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. That's the third world of prayer right there. There are three specific areas that Jesus talked about. They represent three dimensions of prayer. And so as we pray, we go from one dimension to the other. We're not to just stay in one prayer world. We're to learn. We're to grow. We're to become empowered. We're to be full of the Holy Ghost. And like Smith Wigglesworth said, I got a leak, so I got to be filled and refilled over and over again, and so do you. Now, point number three. The first prayer world is ask, it shall be given unto you. Ask. Now, in the book of James, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In other words, if you don't know about a particular situation, ask of God. Then he says, you have not because you ask not. If you lack wisdom, you can go and ask God for wisdom in a certain way on a situation. But if you look at the Bible, it says Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So those four things have been accomplished through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You have the mind of Christ. If you read this book, you'll have it. Prayer is not just you asking God. That's the first dimension of prayer. But prayer is listening to God. Read your Bible. Just delight in the word like Jeremiah. The words were found and I did eat them. I cannot wait to get back to my Bible. Something has happened to me. I don't know what it is. I'm all the way over into May, and pretty soon I'm just finish the New Testament and start over again. Hallelujah. But the first prayer world is the world of asking. And then he says, ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. So this is the primary prayer world, the beginning prayer world. You could call it the baby prayer world, the infant world of prayer, a brand new Christian. It's always correct, however, to ask the Father for things. But it's the baby prayer world. It's the beginning prayer world. When a child begins to learn how to speak, the first thing that child learns to do is to ask you for something. I want some milk. And they get to where they say, I want some cookies. They ask, you know. So give me, give me, give me. That's what a child does. And that's true as a brand new Christian too. It's just normal. So the asking prayer world, you should probably understand that better than any other world, especially if you are a parent. You would understand as a child grows up the different dimensions that they go through. Jesus said that so that this prayer world, it would never be despised. It would never be rejected, the prayer world of asking. Some people say, oh, I've asked God for too much. I've asked already. I'm telling you, that prayer world is never despised by God. He will not upbraid you. He will not chastise you for coming to Him. He's a good God. But He doesn't want you to stay in that primary world of prayer, of just asking, because there are other dimensions. So when we ask, you know, we're obeying a specific command of Jesus. When we're born into the kingdom of God, the Lord said, ask and you shall receive. Ask, it shall be given unto you. So I want you to look at what Jesus said, because so many people miss this. And they hear others pray, and instead of going with what the scriptures say, they go with what others say. I'll baptize you like this. In the name of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to lay my hands on you and pray any other way, because it carries nothing but words. God never exalted His name nor the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will not speak of Himself. He will speak of me. And that's the only thing the Holy Ghost will recognize, is the blood, the word, the Spirit of God. And that name Jesus, He recognizes that, because that's what Jesus said He would do. He'll teach you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll empower you. But He will not speak of Himself. He will speak of Jesus Christ and the cross, because at the cross, Jesus humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, and God the Father highly exalted Him. Don't try to do it any other way. You're just speaking words into the air. Can I get an amen out there? I preached along these lines a lot of times. I got missionaries, and they talk to me about people coming on the mission field, saying, praying those prayers like a Catholic priest, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Pray in the name of Jesus. I promise you, that name is adequate. It is sufficient. Look at John 16:23 again. Jesus, he's going to the cross, and He knows it. He said, and in that day, you shall ask Me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. That's it. So this is the elementary prayer world, and we know that we must ask in order to receive. This is the first stage of being born again. That's all we know how to do when we get saved, is to ask. And we have to grow into the other dimensions of prayer. So as we grow in the Lord, we should never forget this primary stage, because the Father always wants us to ask, simply because He wants to answer our prayers. And if Jesus said do it, then we ought to do it. Now, if everything was in that first prayer world, Jesus would not have mentioned the other two. So you have to know this. And as you grow in the Lord, you will see how to flow from one to the other, until your whole life becomes a life of dynamic prayer, flowing through the spirit world and flowing into the dimensions of prayer that Jesus taught. Point number four, the second prayer world is seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. If you could get everything by asking, Jesus would not say, seek and ye shall find. There are things in God that you just cannot get by asking. And you got to know that. Jesus told that to a bunch of disciples. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down and they couldn't heal this boy. And Jesus said, bring him to Me. They brought him to Jesus. Jesus cast the devil out of him. So he had to deal for spirit, first of all. So you got to be led of the Holy Ghost. Many times, if you're going to deal in deliverance with people. You got to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by your brain. And every situation is different. Every one of them. I have never cast devils out of people that it was the same. I do remember one situation that occurred twice. I had a man come to me and said, I want to get saved, but I can't get saved. I think I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, and you want to get saved? He said, yes, I have. Yes, I do. I said, well, you hadn't blasphemed the Holy Ghost then if you want to get saved. I said, he wouldn't deal with you if you had blasphemed the Spirit. I said, will you let me pray for you the way I want to pray for you? He said, you can pray for me any way you want to, Brother Nelson. I wasn't a licensed preacher. I was a lay preacher. I laid my hands on him. I said, come out of him, you devil, in Jesus' name. I said, say these words. I led him into prayer. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. He said, I said, receive him. I reached out and touched him. The power of God hit him. Another individual, I was at one of the major churches here in this community, and a man there said, I can't get saved. I just can't get saved. I can't get saved. His daddy was my prayer partner. I said, will you let me pray for you the way I want to pray? He said, I will. Did the same thing. That's the way Lester did it. Lester Sumrall. I picked that up from Lester. I said, come out of him, you devil, in Jesus' name. Say these words. Led him into prayer. When he said, come into my heart, I like to do that. Because the Holy Ghost is tangible. The Spirit of God is tangible. And if you've got him in you, you can release him to other persons. If you've got gifts of the Spirit, if somebody comes with a big heart and wants more of God, you can release the Spirit into that person. And those giftings will show up in them. But you just don't get this from the world of intellect. You get this, what I'm talking about, from the world of seeking God. You got to know that. So, you know, when Jesus cast the devil out of that little boy, he said that is another dimension to just than just prayer. He said, this kind of deliverance goes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Do you wonder why every year that I start the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting? It's because I want to get my spirit man ready, but I want to get your spirit man, your spirit person ready. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. And I don't want to just do it myself. I want to empower other people to pray prayers just like I would pray. I had one man, he told me, he said, a man come up and was bound by cigarettes, and he said, stick your tongue out. Took some anointing oil. He said, I laid it on his tongue. I said, come out in Jesus' name. Be free. And he said, the man told him after that, said, every time I try to smoke a cigarette, it tastes like olive oil. His wife told him, he said, my wife said, where did you learn that from? Did you learn that from Jerry Nelson? He said, I sure did. See, I learned it from Lester, and I passed it on to him. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to learn from one another and pass these great treasures on. And it worked for him, too. I think it's exciting myself. So there's another prayer world just beyond asking. So in this second dimension of prayer, we call it the world of seeking. Is seeking different from asking? Yes, certainly it is. Because seeking takes intelligence. Seeking takes thought. Seeking takes action. You got to do something. You got to study. You got to maybe not go to that ball game because you feel the Spirit calling you. Maybe I'm just not going to go do that activity. And you and the family, y'all go on. I love you. Praise God. I'll catch up with you later. But I don't always tell them. I try to be balanced, but sometimes I just feel I've got to get along and talk to God. My father's calling me. A lot of times at night, my wife can tell you. Many times of a morning, I don't know. I can't tell you what's happened. It's just that I want more of God, and he said, if you ask for more, you're going to have to seek me. And that's just the way it is. You know, a two-year-old baby can say, give me some milk. But if you said, go find that milk yourself, go to that refrigerator, pour yourself that bottle of milk you want, that baby would give up because they don't know anything about seeking. All they know is asking. Mother, daddy, give me this, give me that. That's all they know. They're babies. And all they understand is to ask. But when you move into this second dimension of prayer that I'm talking about with God, you begin to seek him for bigger things, for better things, for more than you have imagined. That's what the Spirit will do to you. He will mess you up. He will mess you up to where you begin to believe you can do things through Christ that you never thought was possible for you to do. I tell you, the Holy Ghost will mess you up. Woo! He'll put your feet to dancing. He'll give you joy unspeakable that's full of glory. People say, why are you so happy all the time? Yes, I have problems, but it's not the problem I'm looking at. I decided I'd look at Jesus a long time ago. I would keep my focus upon him. And if you'll do that, you'll be happy. I'll never forget the time I went to a black church, Jimmy Scott and Woody Bradley and myself. We'd gone to our church at Farmington Heights, and we wanted to go to church. They turned out early. So we went over to Spring Hope, to Brother Elmer Moore. I said, he'll still be having church. Got over there, and he'd shut down. So we decided to come back home. Couldn't find a church. And we cutting through the countryside there, and we got to a little brick cinder block church, little white church. And we went in, and we were only three white people in there. The whole church was, they said, come on in, brothers and sisters. And we testified, and they made the mistake of asking me to testify. I'd never done this in my life, but all of a sudden out of my spirit, I said, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I said, Jeremiah said that words were found and I did eat them, and that word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And I went on to the New Testament. I said, Peter said its thing is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I said, Paul said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I said, but I like what Jesus said. Jesus said, I want my joy to remain in you, and I want your joy to be full. And about that time that they hit that music and people started dancing and praising God all over the place, and the glory fell down. Why? Because if you'll seek him, you'll find him. And he will fill you to overflowing. And we knew who we were among. We were among our brothers and sisters. We were in the body of Christ. And we were worshiping with people of like precious faith. So when you start seeking God, it shows that you are truly growing in God. There are dimensions in prayer, just like there are dimensions in power. The lowest dimension of power is called physical power. Think about it. That is the lowest dimension of power. Above that, there's mental power. Did you know that a man that has mental power, he can achieve some great things? Physical power, if that's all you got, you're going to work for somebody else the rest of your life. But if you got mental power, that's the level above it. And then there's moral power. And our nation has lost its spiritual equilibrium. Physical power, mental power, moral power, and then spiritual power. Hallelujah. And that's how you get there. I mean, write those four down. Physical power, mental power, moral power, spiritual power. That's how you get into the dimension of the Spirit. So if as a Christian we lived on the intellectual plane or the moral level or upon, you know, the level of mental power, we would never have power with God. We would never have the power to cast the devil out. You never have the power to lay hands on somebody and make an impartation of a spiritual gift. You never have the power to heal somebody. You don't touch a head, you touch a heart. And if the person is bound, it takes spiritual power to free that. Like I told you, I'm so tired of church growth seminars, I don't want to ever go to another one. I hope they don't even ask me. And I'm not a rebel, I just don't like it. I've had my feel of it. I want to know him, and I want spiritual power. I want this church to be full of spiritual power. I want you to know how to handle yourself in the battles of life. And I'm supposed to equip you. Hallelujah. So dimensions of prayer, they're also important. Look what God said in Jeremiah 29:13. I love this. Is seeking important? You better believe it. He said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, if you were to fast forward to the New Testament, the lawyer came to Jesus and he said, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then he says, the second is like unto it. love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself first. You got to know God loves you. God delivered you. You got to receive God's forgiveness. You got to ask others that you've wronged to forgive you. And then you've got to forgive yourself. If you never forgive yourself, you'll go around with an inferiority complex for the rest of your life. I'll never forget the power that flooded my heart when I got saved. I didn't even like me. I told my dad, I said, I found out God likes me. He loves me. So, you know, when I received that, then I went alone and I talked to God. And God said, I want you to go to people that you wronged. And the best of your ability, I want you to make it right. So I did. I just went to people. I said, I'm sorry I acted the way I did. I'm sorry. I wasn't born again. I'm saved now. And I'm sorry I did that. And after I finished that, I went back talking to God. I began to seek God. I have never stopped seeking God. And if you ever stop seeking God, I promise you something. You will backslide. You backslide the same way you're born into the kingdom. It's in the prayer world. I promise you that. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, Nana, you've received my forgiveness. Now you've forgiven others. I want you to forgive yourself. That might have been the hardest one of all. Because sometimes, you know, there are strongholds in our life. There are bondages. There are things that we're wrapped up in. And things we have done. And the devil will tell you, God doesn't love you, and God will never forgive you of that. Let me tell you, he takes your sin, casts them in a little ball, and pew, casts them as far from as the east is from the west. He casts them into a sea of forgetfulness. Now, people won't forget you. They'll come around, they'll remind you, and the devil will remind you. So what you got to do is go to this book and say, hey, it's under the blood. The blood took care of it all. Hallelujah. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And if you never move into that dimension, you will always be up and down, in and out, and never established in the kingdom of God. The treasures of this world, I want you to think about it, such as gold and silver and diamonds and oil, they are not found on the top of the ground. You have to search for them. And that's the way God is. They are found, the treasures are found in the riverbeds. They're found deep down in the heart of the earth. And one of the things that causes so much disappointment is in prayers that Christians, some of them never move from the primary prayer world of asking into these other stages. And so they don't get what they need from God simply because they have missed the second prayer world. When Jesus said, seek and you shall find. And this stuff is not, now lay me down to sleep. This is, I'll open my Bible. And before I read it, I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me. Open the pages of this book to me. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be asking you for some things, but I'm going to be seeking you, Lord. And I want to move through these prayer worlds. I want to move. I want to move in close on you. And I say the only thing I'm satisfied with in my Christian walk is the fact I have never been satisfied. There's so many dimensions to God that we don't know. And I've never been satisfied. I'll never forget Becky and I were working at the Bridgestone plant down. I came one day and I'm walking down the hall and that old song come up, satisfied, satisfied. No trouble shall ever get me down. When my soul shall lie in rest with my Jesus, I'll be at rest. And then you'll know I'm satisfied. You may ask me if I'm happy, if I have sweet peace within, if I'm worried about tomorrow when I reach my journey's end. Well, I'm satisfied with my Jesus. When he knocks, I'm going to let him in. He'll go with me through the valley, for I know he is my friend. And then satisfied, and I've gone from one office past Becky and then to the other office. And I started back. I said, oh, God, that's what's wrong with your people. They're saved, sanctified, and satisfied. I would weep. I would really weep. I'm going to tell you the truth. I would go to my prayer closet and weep. and say, God, what is wrong with your church? Where is the joy? Where is the shout? Where is the dance? I'm glad the church was there. Don't get me wrong. I got saved. But I tell you what, I've never been the same. From the time that nails God's hand touched me, I'm just going to praise him because I've learned there's power in praise. Some people are too dignified. They are. We don't want that. We'll relegate the Holy Ghost to the back room. We don't want you speaking in tongues in our church. Come on in here and speak in tongues if you want to. The Spirit gives you the utterance. Hallelujah. They're like that. Sister Clara knows I'm preaching truth right now. Shout it, Sister Clara. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, some people just don't get what they should get because they don't seek God. Now, we should be seekers. We should seek God when it comes to spiritual things. Look at Matthew 6:33. This is Jesus preaching. I mean, if Jesus knows what he's talking about, but ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. See, Jeremiah, he's talking about seeking God. And then Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's holy living. And all the stuff shall be added. We're in a church age where people want to live like the devil and come to church and shout and praise God. A drunk can praise God. But let me tell you, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And all this hype in some of our churches and all this noise and stuff, it's all right. But if it doesn't have the Spirit of God and people's heart aren't regenerated by the blood and they aren't living holy, it's not going to do a whole lot except give them a good feeling. But when you get into God's presence with some real singing and some music, I know I'm preaching stuff that people out there don't even want to hear. Don't bother me. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And I know the church world I live in. I know the people that I associate with. I know pastors. I know a lot of them. Some of them are good men in God, and some of them, they need a prayer life. They can got good stuff, but there's no oomph to it. There's no unction. You got to have the unction to function. Hallelujah. You got to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, look at the world of seeking. Look at Hebrews 11:6. The writer said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, seeking requires energy. It requires intellect. You got to analyze something. Say, God, why that service Sunday, why, God, didn't this happen? Why didn't that happen? I prayed in the name of Jesus, Lord, what do I need to change? What do I need to do? How do I get more of you? I'll never forget, I was over here praying, and I was by myself in this place praying right here at this spot in the floor down there. And it come up out of my spirit. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. I said, oh, God, that's what I need. I need a greater measure of the Spirit. I do. You do. We all do. There's so many things in God that we are not enjoying. We got people that need miracles. I need miracles. You need miracles. Our nation needs a miracle, a turnaround anointing. So when Jesus said, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, he was talking about something far, far more exciting than just asking. I tell you, it's exciting. It is to me to get my prayers answered. It's one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my life to be able to lay hands on somebody and see them filled with the Holy Ghost, to lead them in a sinner's prayer and see God regenerate their soul, to see them sanctified and delivered from bondages. And if I could just get them to seek, to ask, seek, and knock, I could get them through to victory. It's not me, it's the Holy Ghost. But he uses a fivefold ministry to do that. And people, they just got all of God I want. I called somebody today, invited him to church. And I thought about him later. I won't tell you what day it was. It was a very important day in their life. And I thought about them surviving COVID-19. What's more important, to go to that party with your friends or to come to the church and honor the God that spared your life? I don't think people analyze stuff like that. My mind just sort of works like that. I'd be afraid after what God has done for me not to go to the house of God and honor the Lord. So, seeking is very important. If I were to tell you before you come to church tonight, I hid $100 bill under one of these seats. And whoever finds that $100 bill is yours. Now, I didn't put one there, but if I did, you wouldn't just sit there and ask, where is it, where is it, where is it? You would start ripping these chairs apart, looking and seeking for that $100 bill. Now, we can be so smart on the natural plane, yet we miss the spirit world because we don't seek. So, you know, that's what you call seeking. Point number five, the third prayer world is knock, it shall be open unto you. This is my favorite prayer world. A beautiful painting by Hoffman is hanging in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And Jesus Christ, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. And the door handle in that picture is on the inside. And Jesus is saying in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. So if any man hear my voice, so we're knocking. Now, how do you get in to where God is? Well, you go through Jesus. He's the door. Any man hear my voice? If you hear, he said, I'm the door. There's no other way to God. And I'm telling you, that's important. You understand that. You know, anything else is religious. It's just religion. I'll tell you, it's religion. And we got too much of that in the church, and we need to understand what God did. God the Father exalted the name of Jesus, and demons tremble at that name. They told those early disciples, don't you preach anymore in that name. Says, how was that man healed? Said it was his name, through faith in his name. Yea, the faith that is by him has made this man whole whom you see and know. They knew that man was born lame. And when he was healed, he went to church dancing and shouting and praising God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you've got to go to Jesus. That's where you do your knocking. You go to the world of God, to the word of God, and you search the scriptures and you learn about the Lord. And the more you learn, the greater your prayer life will become. You must knock. And if you'll keep knocking, you know, Jesus will open that door to you. The third prayer world is the ultimate prayer world. I'm going to show you why. I believe that worship is the highest form of prayer. It's in this world that we minister to the Lord and we move into a state of worship and magnifying God. When Paul and them were getting ready to go on their missionary journey, they prayed, they fasted, and they ministered to the Lord. This is the ultimate stage of prayer. When you get into this prayer world, and we're starting to experience this here, that's why I'm praying for the fire. That's why I preach that sermon on fire. Because when you get into this dimension of knocking, this is the area where you're praising God, you're magnifying God. You don't need to ask for anything. You've got him. Brother Ray, he had cataracts. I don't think he ever asked God to heal him, not in this place. I never prayed for him. They just disappeared in the glory of God. My eyes reversed. I don't know what happened. I just praised God for it. It's just, I wasn't asking him for that. I remember when I was 42, and I put those glasses on. I'm ashamed to tell it on myself. I was coming home from Firestone one day, and I just took those glasses and I threw them in the floorboard. I said, I hate these things. Then I got me some contact lens. And I said, God, my eyes aren't sick, but I wish you'd fix them. And guess what? A few years later, he did. So what can I say? I did ask, but it might not have been the right spirit to ask in, but I did ask him. Hallelujah. When you get into this third world, you don't ask for anything because you've got God. You don't seek for anything because you've already found him. Isaiah knew this world of prayer when he saw the throne of God. Isaiah knew that world. Daniel knew this world of prayer, and God sent angels to help him. John knew this prayer world. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God gave him the entire book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer world of adoration and praise is where you knock. Knock and it shall be open unto you. This is a place in this prayer world that you find, you'll never find this prayer world, the things in this prayer world, by asking and seeking. It's only through true worship that you'll get some of these things. These are the great treasures of God. That's why I'm a praiser. And when I preach the sermon on it, when praise leads the way, victory's on the way. If you learn to get into this prayer world, and when you get in there, just turn your spirit loose and begin to praise God. I think the Pentecostal Holiness Church and the Church of God and the Four Squares and the Assemblies of God, they ought to get free, where they just worship God and you know, drop the facade, let the gifts of the Spirit operate, because we're not going to get anything from God by church growth techniques and all that other stuff. You'll get the first, or you'll get to the first dimension. You will never move in on God until you start praying and seeking God. So when you enter this prayer world, you're not asking. Now, I'm going to just skip over to point 7. I'm going to end it here. The story of our lives, it is really the story of the three prayer worlds. I'm going to say that again. The story of our lives, our individual life, it is really the story of the three prayer worlds. When a person backslide, or denomination backslide, it backslides through the prayer world. When a church is born, it is born in the primary prayer world of asking. Then as it matures, it goes to that second prayer world of seeking God. We want more. We got people that come in here that they've been taught that the Holy Ghost is not for today. And you saw somebody get filled a couple of weeks ago, and you heard that testimony Sunday. I wanted the Holy Ghost. Well, if you want him, you better go somewhere where he is, where he's welcome to and the gifts of the Spirit are operating. As a church matures, it moves into that second prayer world. And then it goes into the third prayer world of worship. Worship and adoration, which God loves so much. A good music program is a wonderful thing to have, because it, after the word is preached, it carries you into that dimension, before and after. A man came here recently and he told me, I just called him up to thank him for coming. He said, I want to tell you something about your church. He said, I came years ago. He said, it's at another dimension now. He said, I felt welcome. I felt the Spirit of God. He said, and I noticed something. When you started preaching the Word of God, the people were just as much praising God for the Word that you were preaching as they were for the songs that were sung. That is a great compliment for people, because you move into that area of dimension of worshiping God. And if you stay in that area, and then the water of the Word washes you and cleanses you, and the Spirit of God takes that Word, boom, you're the one. And all of a sudden, you're sitting in church, and you get a miracle from God in this dimension of prayer. So if a church backslides, it backslides down through the prayer world. I want you to think about this. I know you've seen major denominations do this, and they first stop praising God. They stop their hand clapping. They stop worshiping and magnifying God. You go down and you're expecting the Spirit to move because it says Pentecost on the outside, and it's dead. Been there? I have. Then in the second prayer world, they stop seeking God. They stop seeking God for more and more and more because they've already got everything. Sounds like Jesus talking to the lukewarm Laodicean church age. You're rich, increase with goods, you have need of nothing. But I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. He said, you're naked, you're poor. He rebuked them because they had quit seeking him and loving him the way they should. So in the second world, they stop asking. They don't seek for anything. I mean, stop seeking, and they become lukewarm and they backslide. And then they backslide down to the primary prayer world of asking. They're so full of doubt and unbelief, they don't ask God for anything. They're backslidden. they have lost it. And our lives, by the way, church, they're pretty much the same personally. When you backslide, you stop praising God. You lose your joy. You lose your dance. You lose your song. And then you stop seeking God. And then one day, you just stop asking God, and you're backslidden. So these three parables, they're very important to the church, and they're very important to our lives individually. When the Bible says to pray and fast, we should give ourselves to seasons of prayer and fasting, and we do. There are many attributes and attitudes of prayer, and Pastor Rick has been teaching us a lot on those lines. And we can live in all three prayer worlds at the same time. We worship God. This is the world of maturity, where we praise His name. We slip out of that prayer world while we're worshiping God if we want to, and we begin to seek God. And we just begin to talk to Him about what His Word says to us. And then we flow down into the world of asking. And all of a sudden we're flowing in our spirit in three dimensions of prayer. The highest one is knocking, praising God, worshiping God. And then while you're there, say, Lord, could I have this gift of the Spirit? I've been seeking You, God, for this gift. Would you allow me to have that treasure? Would You open that gift up to me? And you begin to talk to God like that because you have made it through the dimension into the spirit world where you're praising and worshiping Him. You get healed sometimes like that. You get miracles from God like that because you're flowing from the highest dimension down to another dimension of seeking God and then down to the dimension of asking. It's always in order to ask. And so you can move through these worlds of prayer. And you can talk to God, and God will do wonderful things in your life. You can move in all three of these dimensions, in all three of these prayer worlds, because Jesus said there are three dimensions. Look at Luke 11 and 9. Jesus said, "And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." I think we need to move through all three prayer worlds, worship God in spirit and in truth, get into His presence, learn the principles of prayer, and learn how to flow with the river of the Holy Ghost through these three worlds where miracles can show up in our midst and God can be God that He wants to be in our lives. Let us stand.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful name.
Lord, a wonderful name. I release Your healing power to flow through this house, Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Let it find its target where that need is in Jesus' name.
A wonderful name.
Thank You, Lord, for the gifts of healing. I release Your healing, miracle working power. The law of the Spirit of life. We praise You, Lord. We worship You. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock shall be open unto you. There's no doubt about it. For we can flow in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is.
The love you, Jesus.
Of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. the name of Jesus. What a powerful